All right, today being the 13th day of October 2024, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I want to finish out this lesson today. We started last Sunday morning on Christ Jesus, his high priestly ministry, Christ's high priestly ministry. And we're in the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And last week, we looked at a couple things. I finished out the week's lesson before that, but today I want to go ahead and try to finish this out. I gave you a kind of an introduction to the book of Hebrews last week, and I want to share with you today some things from the Word of God from the book of Hebrews chapter number 4 about the superiority of the priesthood of Christ. You know, in the Old Testament period, different priests would come on and fulfill the duties that God had set for them to do. And one man would die, and another man would take his place. Another man would come in, and he would die, and somebody would take his place. But I want you to look today with me in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, where we see that we have a great high priest that will never die. He'll never change. He'll never grow old. And you know what? What he does for you and me today, no man could ever do. Amen? And I want us to look at this today. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse number 14. I want us to see that Christ is our great high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Verse 14 says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." I want you to think about this verse just a moment today, okay? It's because that Jesus Christ came to this earth and was born just as he promised. The Old Testament scriptures promised that the Messiah would come. He did come. He came in the form of man. And because he fulfilled God's plan of salvation upon the cross, he was buried. He arose again victorious over death and hell and the grave. He arose victorious over all those things, just as he said. And now he's ascended back into heaven on his rightful, you know, place of glory, there at the right hand of the Father. And there he ever intercedes for you and for me. Amen. And that is what he is doing as our high priest. He is our great high priest, someone that could come between us, holy God and sinful man. And I want us to see this today. You know, because God came into this world in the form of flesh, he came for a purpose. And if you'll read on over in the book of Hebrews, and we'll look at this in just a little bit, he came for one purpose, and that was to make the way, the opportunity for you and for me to be saved. No one else could ever do that. And the Bible talks about how that he came, and since he came in the world as flesh, he became a man, then he can know and he can understand our temptations, our shortcomings. He sees that. He knows that. He knows all the temptations that we go through. He can sympathize with us, so to speak. And the Bible talks about, because he had not fallen to temptation, okay? You and I fall to temptation so many times, don't we? We fall to that temptation. And the devil throws it out there and makes it look like, boy, we can just do this and not be a problem. But boy, we can mess ourselves up if we're not careful. But Christ came. He was tempted of Satan, but he did not succumb to Satan's temptations. He knows what we've gone through. He knows how we're tempted. And I want you to look there in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It said, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Amen. He did not sin. Amen. Now, you think about that just a moment. It's all I can do to get up in the morning without thinking about sin. Man, the bed never sleeps as good as it does on Sunday morning, I'll tell you what. And I was tired yesterday. Man, I was tired last night. I fell asleep last night. And Precious Lisa goes on the bed, evidently, and Precious comes over and takes her seat beside me. And when I get up, then Precious gets up. So I took her out last night, and we came back in, and I was getting ready to cut out all the lights. And she follows me to every room to make sure that I'm going to go to bed. And every room I'm going in, I'm turning out the lights, making sure the door's locked and all this other stuff. I turn down the light, and when she sees me turning down the lights, I leave a little light on in the living room there, and she sees me turn down that light, then she grabs either her bone or her blanket. She turns back around at me and looks like, okay, Daddy, we ready? We ready? And about 1:30, I think it was this morning, she took on off the bed, pulled that blanket and that bone up on the bed. And when I got in the bedroom, I was getting ready to take my shoes and my boots and everything off. And she was sitting there on the side of the bed just looking, wagging that tail like, okay, Daddy, come on, we're going to go to sleep. And I look at that and I think, man, that dog really must love me. That dog must really love me. But I've got one that loves me even more than my dog does, amen? Hey, I've got one that loves me more today than my wife loves me. Man, she fixed chicken last night and some rice with it, and we had some bread and stuff. Man, it was good. It had green beans with it. And she fixed it, and she said, what else do you want? And I said, oh, that'd be fine with me. And I felt like that little child getting ready to eat its dinner, and it falls asleep at its plate. That's the way I was feeling last night. But you know what? I've got a great high priest that loves me even more than that. Amen. And he is not tempted with sin to the point that he would sin. I get up in the mornings and, man, I don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. Right. And I'm tempted to sin. And so are you. Right. Whether you admit it or not, okay? You and I have the same type problems. But our great high priest, he was not like that. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews chapter number 2. Look at this just a moment. I want you to see this just a moment because I want everybody to understand where I'm coming from with this. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 16, and this is speaking of Jesus, for verily, that word means truly, without a doubt, for verily, he took not on him the nature of angels. In other words, Jesus didn't become an angel. All right? But look what he said. But he took on him the seed of Abraham. What does that mean? He took on a robe of mortal flesh, just like you and I have today, of the seed of Abraham. That was part of the promise that he made back all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Look what it said. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Why? Why did he do this? Number one, look at it. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor there, it literally means that he is able to relieve them. He is able to give the aid to them who are tempted. He's able to do that today. And look what else it said. It said, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. He was tempted just like you and I. Why? He was in a robe of flesh just like you and I. And the Bible said, yet without sin. And that's why Christ became our great high priest. He came to reconcile, to bring us to God. And he came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. And now, because of that, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we go back to that. The writer of the book of Hebrews said this. He said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now through Christ. It's not through religion. It's not through some priest. It's not through some thing that we're able to do ourselves. But it's through Christ. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to know that when I deserve judgment for my sin, and when I deserve condemnation, when I deserve to go to hell and suffer for my sin, that Jesus Christ came down, took on the form of man, so that he might die for your sins and for mine, so that we could go free? Isn't that great? Now I want you to look at something. I want you to turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians just a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, I want you to see a verse here just a moment. Paul wrote this verse. Ed, are you pinching that baby back here? Making funny faces. I'd cry too, baby. Yeah. Bless his heart. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And here the Apostle Paul writes these words: "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Now, there are a lot of people today that come up and say, "Preacher, I'm going through stuff. Nobody knows what I'm going through." Oh, yes, there's somebody that knows. We got a Savior that knows today. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ. He said there had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But I want you to look at the next four words. What does it say? But God is faithful. Amen? Say it with me. But God is faithful. One more time. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen? That's what our Savior did for us. That's what He does for us each and every day. As our great high priest, He is able to do that. And therefore, we are able to come before Him. We're able to come before His throne. We can come boldly unto Him because He knows everything that you're going through. He knows the faults and the failures that we have. He knows the doubts that we have. And man, our doubts are many, are they not? But Christ is able to give us the way to escape. And man, that ought to be a blessing to us. That's my Jesus. That's our great high priest today. And we need to be thankful for that. Amen. But I want you to see also that Jesus Christ can be seen as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Now, if you'll remember the book of Genesis, Melchizedek, when you read that, it's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no recorded beginning. There's no recorded ending for that man, for that great king. And look what he said here in Hebrews chapter 5. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And here we learn that every high priest, beginning of verse number 1, Hebrews 5, 1. Every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. These priests he's talking about were the seeds of Abraham, or of Aaron in the Old Testament. Aaron was that great, that priest, that high priest there in Moses' day. And he was that priest that was chosen on behalf of the people. He ministered to the people. He worshiped the Lord God, and he offered sacrifices on behalf of the Israelites. And yet these men themselves were sinful. They had to go to God. They had to go to God and receive forgiveness of their sins. Their sins had to be covered by the blood of a sacrifice. Even before they could offer sins on the sacrifice for the people on behalf of their sin, they had to do this. But folks, it was not so with our Lord Jesus. Amen? He's the sinless Son of God. He's the one that needed not to have to offer a sacrifice for his sin because he had no sin. He had no sin. And he came not of the line and order of Aaron, but Christ is seen here in the Bible after the order of Melchizedek. Now, why is that important to know today? Why is it special for us to know? Melchizedek lived in the time of Abraham. And if you read there in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 6, he was a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had no beginning, no ending. Forever, his kingdom was established. And while the priests of Aaron's line, okay, all his sons and those that came after him, they had to offer sacrifice for their own sins before they could offer sacrifices acceptable unto God on behalf of the people. They had to make sure that their heart and their life was right before they could offer the sacrifices unto God for the people. But our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, was without sin. And I want you to look in that same chapter, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. Look what it said. It said, "For so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that saith unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in him that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek." So therefore, I want you to see something today. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was more than meet for the qualifications of being a high priest. He was sinless. He was without fault. He was without anything that you and I would consider today as sin, as the Bible would consider as sin. And those Old Testament priests offered sacrifices which God used as a type of his ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God that would be slain from the foundations of the world. And this great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, he became, as we see right here in verse number 9, he became the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. They come to him for salvation. It's not in our baptism. It's not in our church affiliation. It's not in anything else we could do. It's all through Christ. And look here in verse number 8 again. Go back one verse. He said, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Now think about that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he did for us. Now, you think that goes by without being noticed by God? Do you think that just goes by and it's not something that was not in God's plan for you and for me? No. Turn back with me to the book of Philippians just a moment. Philippians, I want you to look at this in chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And here in Philippians chapter number 2, verses 6 through 11, when speaking of Jesus, Paul wrote these words. He said, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." Not in some angelic being. No, that's not what he did. Not some idol or anything like that the world would have. But he took on the form of a servant. He took on the form of a man. And look what the Bible said. "And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Christ was willing to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. Now, How do you kill God? You can't kill God. But Christ was willing to take on the form of man that he might become obedient unto death and be that eternal sacrifice for you and for me that we did not deserve. And yet God gave that sacrifice so that we could be made righteous in him. Now think about it. Look what else it said. Because Christ did all this, the Bible said, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. What a Savior. Amen. Amen. That's our Jesus today. Listen, you don't worship angels. The Bible talked about, hey, we're not to worship angels. And so the angels, therefore, did not worship another angel. They worship Christ Jesus, the Lord, God in the form of man. He came to this earth for you and for me to pay the debt that we could not pay in ourselves. And because our great high priest is one eternal God, we can indeed know that Christ's priesthood is complete and our salvation is forever. It never ends. It never ceases. And you can look at this in Hebrews chapter 7. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22 through 28. You got to see this. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture, but I want you to see from the Word of God that what I'm telling you is the truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. Look in Hebrews chapter number 7, verses 22 through 28. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, a better covenant, better than what the Old Testament priests could offer. And they were truly many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, talking about Jesus, but this man, because he continueth, how long? Ever. Hath an unchangeable priesthood. Aren't you glad that Christ's love for you doesn't change? Amen? Aren't you glad that he doesn't get upset with you today because you failed him yesterday? And he says, well, if that's the way you're going to be, then I'm just not going to love you anymore. Good grief. My soul. People are so fickle in our world today. They love one another if they can get something they want from that person. But when that person can no longer give them what they think they want, they don't want to love them anymore. Hey, listen, we see that in our world now today, everywhere you go. And they kill one another. They do all kinds of wicked things. But Christ, our great high priest, he continueth forever. And look what he said. And hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, or because of all this, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Listen to me today, folks. Christ Jesus died once and only once. Why? Because he paid the debt for your sin, for my sin, forever when he died upon that cross. Amen? And now he doesn't have to go back and die over and over and over and over again, because he ever liveth and he is unchangeable today, folks. Amen? He's unchangeable. And look at this. The Bible said, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Think about it. Jesus Christ, our great high priest, lives forever today. Amen? Isn't that great? That's a wonderful thing. And because he lives, we too can live forever. Amen? Go on to look at verse 23 in chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. Look at this. I'm going to read down through verse 28. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. In other words, he's not like a picture. He's the real thing. But he is into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So what does all this mean for the child of God? What does it mean? What is he talking about? Let me tell you what it means. It means that every believer has a responsibility toward Christ. You and I today have a responsibility toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 10. I want you to see this. Now, I don't have time to read all of these verses, because beginning here in chapter 10, and it goes all the way through, the thought goes all the way over to Hebrews chapter 13. But I want to share this with you. The book of Hebrews not only gives the child of God good doctrine, but it also provides instruction for application. How we are to apply. It's not only giving us things that we should know, but he's showing us the things that are made applicable to our lives as born again children of God. How are we to respond? What are we supposed to do? You see, knowing the truth is one thing, but doing the truth is another thing. Okay? How many of your children knew that they had homework, but they chose not to do it? Had some little girls in the 417, 418 the other day, and their teacher was making them take their test because they had missed the day that they took their test on. Oh, isn't that strange? They didn't come in on the day that they were supposed to take the test. They came in after the day that they were to take the test. And guess what? The teacher made them take their test. And I was listening to one of those little girls, and they're, but I didn't study last night. Oh, I didn't study. And one of the other little girls in there, she said, well, I was watching TV, and I just didn't think about it. And I just looked at them both, and I said, well, I think you just need to do the best you can do and just be quiet about it, okay? I wouldn't tell anybody you didn't study. Just, you know, maybe you'll have some mercy with the teacher or something. But listen, it's one thing to know truth. It's another thing to apply truth. And folks, that's where you and I today have a responsibility as born-again believers to apply what we know to be true in our lives as Christians. Now here in chapter 10, starting in verse number 19, it goes all the way down to chapter 11, verse 40, we see the exhortation to faith in Christ. Now look at it. I'm going to read chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In other words, don't be double-minded in the ways that you think about being saved. Don't think that today you can trust God and tomorrow you can't trust God. If we can trust God today with our souls, can we not trust God with everything else in our life? Amen? I heard a preacher ask his church one day, he said, if you can trust God with your soul, can you trust Him with your wallet? Can you trust Him with your talents? Can you trust Him with your temple? Can you trust Him with your time? Yes, you can trust Him with all those things. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water, the water of the Word, that's what he's talking about. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another. Let's think about one another. Let's pray for one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What are we to do? We are to encourage one another to do that which is right in the eyes of God. We're to consider and to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, we can come before God because He's faithful. We can come to Him because we know He will continue to give us strength to serve Him from day to day. And we're to remain faithful and to strengthen and encourage our brothers and our sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. To do what? To be found faithful. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. And listen, if there was ever a day that we need to be found faithful in our service, our attitude of love toward the Lord, our faithfulness to the house of God, it's the day in which we live today. Listen, we are seeing all the things that Jesus said would come to pass before He came back to take His church out. We're seeing those things come up to pass right now. We're watching it come to pass. Listen, we're seeing with Israel, all right? That is God's temperature thermostat, you might say, okay? Watch Israel. Watch what is happening over in that area right now. And everything that you see happening was foretold in this book. And listen to me, if everything that happened in the Old Testament scriptures came to pass when Jesus came to this earth, don't you think the things that Jesus said would soon come to pass are going to definitely come to pass before He comes back again? And we ought to be living more for Him now than we've ever lived. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't quit. Keep living for the Lord. Why? Because one day we're going to stand before Him and we're going to give account unto Him. Then we come to chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. And we see what's called the faith chapter, or the Hebrews Hall of Fame. Okay? I love this chapter because when I get to thinking to myself, I can't do this, Lord. I cannot continue to do this. God's Word shows me that I can. Amen? It shows me that I can. And here we see examples from the Old Testament scriptures of those men and women who learned to trust the great I Am. They learned to trust Him as they obeyed Him. And they gave the Word of God here gives us great examples to follow. You want some heroes to follow after? Listen, this is better than Batman. This is better than Superman. This is better than Aquaman. This is better than Wonder Woman. Amen? All right? Because these folks are real, and the God that they served was real, and He's still real today, and He wants to work in your life and my life the same way He worked in their lives. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. We see an example of the first man to ever be killed upon this earth. His name was Abel. He died because he did that which was right in the eyes of God. And look what he said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, All right. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Amen. Abel's offering was a reminder that shows us God's ultimate plan of that lamb that would one day come as the sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Cain tried to find another way, and it didn't work for him, did it? And Cain and all of his descendants after him followed after the flesh. They cursed God. They turned their faces away from God. They knew what God said, but they chose to reject what God said. And folks, that's the world we're living in today. A lot of these people today, they know what God's word says, and yet they defy God. They thumb their noses at God and say, God, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do what I want to do. But by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. He trusted God to do what he said he was going to do. The Bible said here that Abel's offering was a reminder that shows us God's ultimate plan, and that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Isn't that great? Amen. I'm thankful for that. Look at verse number 5. In verse 5, we see Enoch's walk of faith that pleased the Lord. Listen, let me ask you today, does your walk with God please Him today? Does your walk with Him please Him? Our driveway is about a third of a mile from our house up to the road, up to Highway 27. And sometimes Lisa and I just like to go and walk. And she'll hold my hand and I'll hold hers. And we'll just walk up the road, just in fellowship. You know, she'll keep telling me, slow down a little bit, slow down a little bit. I said, I'm already crawling. Just got to get going here. But listen, it's just the fellowship, the time together, okay? Sometimes I'll take Precious with me. And I'll walk her up there. I've got her on the leash. And any little squirrel, any little rabbit, buddy, she jumps after it. And I say, stay on track, sweetheart. Get out here and do what you're going to do. And let's walk up the road and we'll come back. But she loves to go out and walk. And you know what? We ought to love to walk with the Lord Jesus today. We ought to want to talk with Him and spend some time with Him. Look at verse number 5, Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, but was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. What was his testimony? That he pleased God. Hey, folks, are we pleasing God today in our walk and our talk with Him? Verse number 7, Noah believed God's word. And while the world mocked him and made fun of him, Noah put his faith into action. And because he did, because he trusted God, you and I are here today. Amen? Listen, because Noah was faithful, we are here today. We're able to know Christ as our Savior. Verses 8 through 10. And you go back down to verse 17. Abraham believed God, and he took him at his word. And he was willing to offer his son, Isaac, his only son, who he loved. He was willing to do what God said do, as a picture of God's love for this world. And you know what they found? They found a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. That was a picture of our Jesus. That crown of thorns upon his head, he became the sacrifice for your sins and for mine. We read about Sarah in verses 11 and 12, and Isaac and Jacob in verses 20 and 21. We read about Joseph. Joseph is one of my great heroes of the faith here in verse 22. And the faithful parents of Moses, how that they were willing to trust God. Why? So that one day their son could grow and do something great for God. And look at verse 24. The Bible said, when he was come to years, talking about Moses now, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what folks are doing today? They are enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, they think because it feels good now, we ought to do it. Oh, because, man, this is just so wonderful, I ought to do it. Listen to me. The pleasures of sin are only seasonal. They don't last for a long time. And then we stand before God. But look what he said. He said he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Man, all through this chapter, you read about men and women that put their faith and trust in God. And that's what you and I have got to learn to do today. And look at this. And it said in those verses that follow here, he describes them. He said they had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Think about that. Everything they did by faith. We have seen what was promised come to pass. Therefore, you and I ought to bear a greater responsibility, do you not think? To live for him, to serve him, because we know what he came, he said he was going to do. We know that he did it, and he fulfilled those promises. But look at the last couple chapters here. I want you to go through this real quick. We have the exhortation to hope and to love today. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and nothing less. And that's what we sang about this morning. And in Hebrews chapter 12, he writes there. And he talks about how we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, we need to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Keeping your eyes on him. Why? Because he's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. And he's the one that, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And today he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's the one we need to be thinking about today. Amen. He's the one we need to keep our hearts set on today. Man, what a great book this book of Hebrews truly is. And I would encourage you to take it and read it. And when you think about quitting and when you're thinking about just giving up on God and you're thinking to yourself that God just cannot hear you or answer your prayer, I want you to go back and read this book and you'll find out that God is faithful to his word because he never changes. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Isn't that a great God that we serve? That's his great high priestly ministry today for you and for me. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I pray, God, today that the lesson will be a help to your people. And I pray, oh God, that you'll use it today to strengthen our hearts, to serve you, to love you, to see our responsibility as born-again believers in service unto you. Use the words of my mouth, Lord, to speak to hearts today. And if there be somebody today that's never been saved, God, help them to come to you and know you as their own personal Savior. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, folks. God bless you for being in Sunday school.